We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
It is Vince D'Addario. I just have to say it out of formality. Are you ready for rapid fire?
Oh, I've been waiting. Like, it's very strange when you know you're going to be on the show and it like hits 6 o'clock. Like my kids were like, "Dad, it's 6 o'clock. What are you doing?" It's like, "I got time. I got time today."
Is this the first time you've done like the split show?
Yes, and it's very weird. Very weird for me.
It is a little different. It's a little different for me as well, just from a preparation standpoint. It's a lot different. You know,
yeah, for sure.
But hey, got a lot more recruiting stuff on the show these days with Ryan,
which is awesome, especially with the pot of gold going out, which I think is obviously an awesome situation that Notre Dame does every St. Patrick's Day. And I always forget about it until St. Patrick's Day rolls around and it's like, oh, that's the pot of gold day.
Right.
That's a pot of gold day. So yeah, it's always super exciting to watch those roll in and, you know, all that stuff. So fun, very, very much fun. And it's always nice to see how Notre Dame kind of ups the game every year. And I kind of liked the Indiana Jones theme. I'm not going to lie. These kids probably have no idea who Indiana Jones is that are getting these offers. But I noticed that's all that matters.
Well, there was a new, I don't know that the latest Indiana Jones movie was that great based on what I heard. I didn't go see it.
I saw it. It was better than the Crystal Skull one. Much better.
Okay.
So it was good.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, let's just talk some football. What do you think?
Well, before we do, can we talk about our bracket challenge real quick?
Let's do it. Remind people.
Info.
Yes.
We are running an IB Nation Sports Talk bracket challenge. So if you want to be a part of it, all you got to do is go to ESPN, either log in or create a profile. Then go to the bracket challenge, and I think they call it tournament challenge, and you hit groups, and you type in IB Nation Sports Talk. You'll see our group come up, and then the password is Irish Breakdown. One word, two capital letters. Easy. Easy. And there's one for men, and there's one for women. We currently have 57 people on the men's side.
Okay.
And 10 on the women's side.
All right.
So need to step it up on the women's side. Men's side should be a lot of fun, though.
I told Jesse to get in, get his brackets in, but he's doing birthday stuff today. So
wow, still?
Yeah. They were good. Well, today is his birthday, but
this is true.
You know, like he got this to stretch it for a few days because the fact that he came into town last weekend. So today is the actual birthday.
This is true. Yeah, so he's not in there yet, and that means it will be up to 11, which would be
great. I feel like mine are a little chalky in both. You know, well, I was a little disappointed when I sat back and looked at them. But
for women, though, a lot of times that's kind of how it rolls. You know what I mean? Like it's very chalky. And I would say that I was talking to the women's basketball or the girls, I guess, girls basketball coach at Penn. And she's like, yeah, you know, the chasm used to be a lot bigger between like the top teams and the bottom teams. Mm-hmm. He's like that. It's definitely closing, but you still see a lot of chalk, especially early on.
Yeah. LSU was a 3 seed last year. They won the national championship. I believe
that's true.
They're the lowest seed ever to win a championship, or at least in recent years, they're the lowest seed too. So it still does tend to go a lot more chalky with the women. Although I do feel like, I feel like it's very top heavy with South Carolina, obviously. And then you can probably put Iowa right after them, but I feel like there's a lot of parity. Otherwise it's going to be a very competitive tournament. I think
it should be a lot of fun.
Other than the very top. So
yeah, should be a lot of fun.
But first prize for both the men's and women's bracket challenges, you get to spend a day cutting coupons with Vince D'Addario. So,
oh, the fun we will have.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to get the store to pay us to take the food out. That's how we roll.
That's right. That's exactly right. What about the Burger King coupon? Is it good? Is it bad? How long does it last?
Hey, you want to know what we did between school and the show? Sean Stiers,
Burger King.
It's free cone day at Dairy Queen.
There you go. That's the way to do it, especially when you got kids. I don't blame you.
Walked up to the counter, 6 cones, please, because Dylan wasn't around.
That's right. Today's the equinox, isn't it? First day of spring officially. Yep. Jesse was telling me the same thing. He was going to stop by and get a free cone at DQ in Cleveland. So
it was a heck of a line, but we muscled our way through it because we like free.
All right, well, let's get into some rapid fire. Benjamin Morrison had 6 interceptions 2 years ago. Xavier Watts had 7 interceptions last season. Which of those two will have more interceptions this season, 2024?
This is a really, really good question. And I think at the end of the day, you know, if we're going into, you know, the 25 NFL draft, I think – you know, Benjamin Morrison, I think, is going to be drafted higher. I think he's the better overall player, even though Xavier Watts was the defensive player of the year, right? But I still think it's harder to throw away from a safety than it is a corner.
Tend to agree.
And so I'm going to go with Xavier Watts. I think he has, you know, last year was obviously his coming out party, you know, playing safety and doing everything that he was doing. He has got this thing down to a science. He's going to be all over the field. I think he's going to be able to make some quarterbacks make some decisions that they're not going to want to make. And so he might dupe some people into it. It's easier to go away from a corner. And I think a lot of teams are going to try to fire at the first year starter, whether it's, you know, Christian Gray, Jaden Mickey, whoever's on the other side. It's going to be easier to go that way. But then Xavier Watts is going to be right there, man. So, I'm excited about it. I'm very excited about both of them because I think they can shut down half the field, frankly,
and
force teams to go the other way.
Yeah. And you're exactly right. You know, a couple times Xavier Watts was right place, right time, but that happens for safeties. If you're playing where you're supposed to be and you're just in position, making your reads properly, you're going to find yourself in the right place. I've said before, used to say it, you know, back in the coaching days, preparation breeds luck, basically. You know, like people want to talk about, oh, you got lucky or he got lucky or whatever. Well, if you're prepared, more times than not, the luck is going to break your way just based on the fact that you know what's going to happen inside and out. I do find it interesting that in both of these cases, 2 years ago for Morrison and last year for Watts, the interceptions really came in bunches. For both.
Yeah.
Like they were clustered for 5 of the 6 that Morrison had in his big interception season in 2022 came in a stretch of 3 games with, you know, 3 against Boston College, 2 against Clemson. And then 6 of Watt's 7 interceptions came in a 5-game stretch last year, you know? So like, again, they came in bunches, but I completely agree with your line of thinking. It is much easier to avoid a cornerback than it is a safety. And when you got a safety who became the ball hawk that Xavier Watts was last year, I think he becomes more difficult to defend as well, especially when you are going to have at least one great corner out there on the field and you've got, you know, budding greatness on the other side, depending on how those guys play, Gray and Mickey.
Sure. Well, and a lot of people are saying, you know, Christian Gray is going to end up with more than both of them, which is a definite possibility because he's going to be tested if he ends up being the starter. I mean, both guys are going to play, obviously, between him and Jaden Mickey, but, you know, he's going to get tested because he's the unknown. And I have a feeling he is going to be known sooner than later, but they got to throw the ball somewhere. So, you know, either way, they're going to throw it underneath. And, you know, look, it's going to be a no-fly zone no matter where they throw the ball in the secondary. But it's going to be fun to watch. I think there's going to be a lot of picks going on.
Yes. Got a couple questions popping up about the brackets. We'll address that once we get through rapid fire. How about that? We'll circle back and we'll address all the different bracket questions at the end.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, some big news out of Clemson and the ACC today. Yeah. Clemson has filed a lawsuit against the ACC over the conference's media rights, their grant of rights, saying the withdrawal penalty that the ACC has in place, where you have to pay all this money, not just for breaking the contract, but for remaining years that are left on the contract, quote, will have a, quote, chilling effect on Clemson's ability to explore and pursue an exit from the ACC. end quote. So among the things Clemson wants the court to rule in its favor, that the ACC does not own the broadcasting rights to its games after it leaves the league, and that Clemson should not be required to pay the exit fee. Now, they also kind of included some stuff about Notre Dame in there as well, which I'll get to here.
Did they really?
In a second. I'll see if I can find that here real quickly. But what do you think of this lawsuit, Vince? Just this whole thing.
I think it sounds very childish, to be honest with you. Like, you signed up for this. Nobody held a gun to your head and said, you need to sign this. When they sign this, they're like, man, we're going to be in the money. This is fantastic. This is great. It's long-term. So that means that, you know, we're going to have financial stability for, you know, the foreseeable future. And now they want out of it. And it's ridiculous. Like, this is what you signed up for.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I don't have any sympathy for Florida State, for Clemson, or anybody else that wants to get out of it. You signed on the dotted line. That's on you, man. You knew what the exit fee was going to be. You knew.
And, you know, people kind of want to take shots at the ACC for the fact that they're getting, you know, that their TV revenue is so much lower, obviously, especially than the SEC in the Big Ten. But remember, this contract came a few years before either the Big Ten or the SEC got these big mega deals. And the ACC went to, you know, the presidents and, you know, all the schools, and they're like, here's what it's going to be. I think it was a 15-year deal when they signed this thing that, again, just to remind everybody, runs through 2036. You know, it's 15-year deal. This is what the revenue was going to be. And everybody was like, sign me up. They all wanted it. They thought it was great at the time. And give it to the ACC, actually, for having the foresight to include the language, because basically the ACC is still intact while the Pac-12 is floating in the Pacific Ocean because of the fact that they had this stipulation in their contract. That
there ironclad.
That's exactly right. The Pac-12 would still be in, you know, there's a few different reasons the Pac-12 would still be in place, you know.
Right.
Two different commissioners completely botched that whole thing. But if they had ever had any wording in place like the ACC has with theirs, it would still be around. And I completely agree with what you're saying. I'm sorry, Clemson. I'm sorry, Florida State. I don't feel for any of you. You took the money when it appeared that the money was good.
Bingo.
And now the only reason you're complaining is because all these other schools. Now, I'd probably be mad, too, if I was Clemson and I saw Indiana, Purdue and Rutgers, you know, getting the size paychecks that they're getting. But it is what it is, man. And here's what they said about Notre Dame in there. Clemson's lawsuit argues the ACC withdrawal fee does not represent actual damages because Notre Dame has the same fee despite having its own separate football TV deal with NBC. In other words, Notre Dame would have to pay the same amount that any other ACC member, you know, pays in, you know, in their separation deal. They would have to pay the same amount of money to the ACC to get out of that contract. But Notre Dame obviously doesn't have the same revenue, or, you know, they don't have the same TV
amount.
Contract,
yeah, right.
Basically. But, you know, like from the Notre Dame perspective, as we know, Notre Dame is actually getting obviously less in that NBC. Now, the one, you know, between the getting the new contract and, you know, what they're still going to continue to get from the ACC, it's fairly similar. But Notre Dame, for, you know, just even as of right now and through the end of this season, is actually getting less than those ACC schools when it's all said and done. But they have to pay that same, you know, break contract grant of rights fee.
Yeah, I don't see how bringing up Notre Dame helps Clemson's
argument. I don't either.
I really don't. I think it hurts their argument, actually, when it's all said and done. I mean, Notre Dame's not a full member of the ACC, and yet they do the things that the ACC wants them to do, and they allow their, you know, their road games to be televised on their networks and, you know, all of these different things, and they agreed to have to pay this hefty amount to get out of it.
Right.
Like, I don't think it's making the argument they think it's making.
I don't
you
either.
Know? You know
I don't
I mean?
Either. And, you know, like you said, they sound like children. To me, it's like, remember Demi Moore's character in A Few Good Men when they're in court and it's like, I object. No, I really object. I strenuously object. You know, it's like you can call it what you want. And you can change the wording, but it just doesn't matter. I don't know. We'll see if a court agrees with them on any of this. But it just seems like as we've said before, for probably the last year now at this point, Vince, if there was any way these ACC schools could get out of this contract, I think they would already be out of it and in another conference.
100%. 100%, because they know that the grass is greener from a financial standpoint, and they would have been gone. And we know the SEC would love to take Clemson and Florida State, for that matter. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get into the SEC, right? And so I think it's hilarious, frankly. It's like, it's just not good enough. I want out. Like, no. Like, you agreed to this. This is on you. You know, 2036.
See, I disagree with this, TD. He says when the majority of teams in the conference want to leave, it'll implode. I mean, I think the majority probably want to leave. One, there's no place for them. The SEC doesn't want most of them. And two, they're all held together because of this contract. They would all still have to pay the fee. I mean, that's what's holding this thing together.
Yes.
Is the hefty grant of rights, you know, breaking the contract fee that they would have to pay to get out. It doesn't matter how many want out.
Yeah.
It's can you legally get out without it costing you an arm and a leg? And that's what's holding it all together. It's just going to cost too much for any of them to get out. That's what it is.
And now Clemson and Florida State are going to spend all kinds of money on legal fees and everything else to try to make this happen. And I mean, if they're going to follow the law is going to say, sorry, you're stuck, is basically what it's going to say. Now, could there be a crooked judge out there that's going to change it or whatever? Then that's possible. Yeah. But at the end of the day, they signed a contract.
You know, the other side of this is, and this is what I was just going to get to, Josh. He said, I heard the SEC doesn't really want FSU. And I don't think there's that much desire for Clemson either, because neither one of them, you know, Florida State is a little bit more of a, you know, long-term, you know, brand name, I guess, in college football, even though they've obviously had, you know, this recent stretch where they were not very good. They just came, like, where Clemson has been better lately. But neither one of them is in a big media market. And the SEC already has, you know, the University of Florida in Florida. So they've got Florida for basically the Florida media markets. The ACC has Miami, you know, like, I guess you can't really use that as an example. But my point is, like, the SEC doesn't need Clemson even, other than for, you know, sort of for what they are right now. Who's to say that they're not just a flash in the pan? What big, you know, in a macro sense, what does Clemson give the SEC 10 years from now when Dabo Swinney potentially is gone? And I mean, with every season, Dabo Swinney, I think, is starting to creep closer. I don't want to say hot seat just yet, but he's creeping closer to a place where he's in a prove it stage again, because of the philosophy he's taken with the transfer portal and everything else. So I guess my point is, Clemson is not a big enough brand. They don't give good, you know, they're not incentive enough from a media market standpoint. Like, what purpose does either one of those really serve the SEC? Right. And really, what purpose? I guess maybe you could argue the Big Ten, just because it helps, you know, it would help the Big Ten's footprint. But at, you know, at one point, I don't know. We're all creeping. We're, you know, it's all creeping for you towards a place that I don't think we really want. But my point is, I don't see either one of them being as desirable as I think they are.
Right. Well, and this is a question that I wanted to bring out. Rabid Nile Chihuahua, great name, by the way. If they all decided to leave, who's left to pay the fee to? Isn't the ACC made up of those colleges, or it's something layered on top of the colleges? The problem was, if they just all decided that we're not going to be in the ACC anymore, well, they couldn't play on TV anymore.
Right. And because that's part of the deal, too. You can't go get your own. Like, if they were to leave and join another conference, whatever TV revenue they were getting, you know, if they just decided they were going to do it, would go to the ACC. So whether they're or schools, you know, remaining in the ACC, just like right now, the Pac-12 remains an entity, even though there are just two teams. There's a new commissioner of the Pac-12, even though there are far from 12 teams out there. The ACC remains an entity, and they have signed contracts with all of these other entities that are in their little fiefdom known as the ACC. So if they leave, even though they might technically not be in the ACC, they still owe the ACC money in accordance with the contracts that they have right. at the conference.
Right. So they can't just say, oh, we're not in the ACC anymore. Right. That just, it wouldn't work. Like you wouldn't be able to take in money for another conference.
Right.
And so,
and I think that, I think that that's, you know, again, that's part of it as well. You know, like say Clemson would just say, well, forget it. We're going to go join the SEC. And that's assuming again, that the SEC would want Clemson. So now the SEC, you know, so now Clemson is in the SEC. They're not, according to that contract, they're not allowed to, you know, basically take money from the SEC, and they can't be on TV until after 2036, according right. to the contract, if they break right. the contract.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, you know, that's why contracts were made. And if you don't want to be subject to a contract, then don't sign it.
Right. That's, and for that matter, you know, because of the fact that the ACC has the TV contract with ESPN and everything, you know, there are other layers there, you know, just in terms of would ESPN even be, you know, allowed to televise any games that involve Clemson because of the fact that you had those contracts right. in place. There's, again, that's for all the lawyers and everything to settle out, to figure out. But I just have to believe that if it were possible for any of these ACC schools to leave, they already would have left.
Yes.
That's because we're going, are we going on 3 years since USC and UCLA, or is it just 2 years?
Gosh, I think it's two. Summer? I think it's two.
It all blends together. So yeah, I think it's 2 years. It's 3 years since Texas and Oklahoma that we're yes. coming up on, 2 years yes. since USC and UCLA. They obviously all jumped quickly, but again, their conferences didn't have, like, there were grant of rights contracts, but they weren't, you know, the same as what the ACC has. I think because mostly because of the length of the ACC's contract, like Texas and Oklahoma, I believe had to pay a little money to get out earlier than they would have, but it was nowhere near like, the, right. you know, 130 some million dollars that it would cost an ACC school to get out at this point, because it's X amount for each year remaining on the contract.
Right. Yeah. So then the number goes down the closer you get to it.
Right.
But they're just so far away from the end that it's, the number's astronomical.
Which was what makes it prohibitive. Yeah. That's exactly right.
And what makes the ACC genius, frankly. Whoever wrote the contract, okay, was really smart about it. I'll just say that. These people are tied to this thing.
Well, and remember, you know, again, even if the SEC and the Big Ten wanted either one of these schools, remember when the whole thing with Oregon and Washington and where, you know, was the Big Ten going to let them in? There was, like, you know, Fox had to come back and say, well, you know, well, like, basically when you add schools, it cuts down the annual payout yep. that yep. each school that's already in there has.
And so you got to go to the TV and ask them to rip right. it up so, and start so over.
The TV partner has yeah. to give you more money for equal shares, or everyone's going to have to take less money.
Right.
To let them in.
Isn't which, that again, what's I happening it, in the Big Ten? Like those guys,
right.
those new teams coming in are taking a fraction
right.
of what the current teams are taking.
Right.
Yeah.
And like in SMU's case, they obviously agreed to take virtually no money for a long time to join the ACC. And, you know, I think the Stanford and Cal, remember, they're going to get less money for being in the ACC for a while. You know, so it's like, it's just, again, if it was just as simple as saying I want out, I just have to think that they would already be out. But I think that there are so many layers to it that's obviously right. why Clemson feels like they're forced to this place. But I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. So, again, I'll let them figure it out. But I just don't see them being able to get out anytime soon.
I don't either.
Okay, scale of 1 to 10. What chance do you give the Notre Dame women to reach the Sweet 16 for a third straight year?
12. I think that they're going to do I think they're going to take care of business, especially being at home. I think the fans are going to come out. They're going to be behind the Irish. And I just don't see a world in which Notre Dame doesn't make it to the Sweet 16.
I'll give it a 9. I will just say, like, looking at Ole Miss, assuming Ole Miss gets past Marquette, it should be a good matchup. But like, that Ole Miss team has got some athleticism. They are deep as well. I was like looking at this roster and it's like, really? I've got to, like, when I make my sheets, like, there's a, they play a lot of players. Okay. They're fairly athletic, you know? So I'm going to give the one chance to Ole Miss. Okay. If Ole Miss gets past Marquette, I think that should be a good matchup, you know? And again, when you look at Notre Dame's depth, how much does that become an issue potentially if it is a matchup with a very deep Ole Miss team?
If they're running, yeah.
But I'll give them a 9. I'm going 9 to the Sweet 16.
Well, because of all the ties that you gave about Marquette, Notre Dame, and everything, I picked Marquette to beat Ole Miss. That was my That was my one upset. Not many upsets in the women's tournament, especially the first couple rounds. Was one of them because I'd love to see that matchup. I think that would be fun.
Okay. I can't disagree with that. What chance do you give, again, scale of 1 to 10, what chance do you give the Irish women to make it to the Elite Eight for the first time since 2019?
Obviously tougher. So I'm gonna bring it back a little bit. I'm going to give them like a 7, like a 6.5, 7. That's kind of where I'm at. I think they got a really good shot of getting to the Elite Eight. I like the matchup, the potential matchups that they have there. And so I think that they're going to make it to the Elite Eight. So I give them a better than average number, 6.5, 7.
John is like through the roof on all of this. John's is like fan. Very confident. Yep. He's going 10 to the Elite Eight. TD4ND says 7. Michael Johnson says 7. I'm going 8 nice. To the Elite Eight. Again, now assuming the matchup is Oregon State, just looking ahead at them a little bit, like they don't have near the depth. It looks like they've got a really good post player. And other than that, kind of some – they're a little bit of the unknown, just like the Pac-12 always is. You know, a little bit of the unknown. I was a little surprised that Oregon State kind of snuck in there with that number 3 seed. But feel really good about a potential Notre Dame matchup with the Beavers, though.
So I like it.
I give it an 8, their chances to get to the Elite Eight.
Okay.
So now, if they get to the Elite Eight, scale of 1 to 10, what chance do you give them to make it to the Final Four?
This is obviously where it takes a little bit of a hit. I am not saying it's impossible.
Now you're playing South Carolina, potentially, assuming they're not knocked off.
So that would be a 0 if I was giving them no chance at all. So I'm going to give them a 3.
Okay.
I'm saying there's a chance. I think they could do it, and it wouldn't be a complete shocker if they did it. So I'm giving them a 3, trying to be realistic here. So South Carolina is so good. You know, if South Carolina gets bumped off, I bump it up to like a 7 because I think Notre Dame has the ability to beat just about anybody in the country with the way they're playing right now. South Carolina is just a different beast. So
yeah,
if it's South Carolina, I give them a 3. If it's anybody else, I bump it up to like a 6 or 7.
Yeah. And that's, I'm going 5. I'll give them 50-50. Nice.
I love it, man. I'm usually the homer. I love it.
It's South Carolina is a better 3-point shooting team this year than they were last year. And you add that with Cardoso, their big center in there. You know, she is so physical. And that really is the difference. You know, the fact that they're able to play inside out the way they are this year. And I think but I also look at the fact this would be a rematch, obviously. They open the season against each other. So Notre Dame at least has some familiarity with it. You know, it would go the other way for South Carolina. You know, the numbers thing could come into play. How physical can you play with Cardoso, I think, is what it would come down to if I'm just breaking down the matchup right now. And that, you know, it's going to be a tough task. But I'll give them a 50-50 if they could, because odds are you're going to see Notre Dame play – you know, zone probably 70 to 80% of the time, you know, because of the way the roster is configured right now, you know. So what kind of effect does that have? You know, is the other team, any of these teams that we're talking about, is the other team making threes? Do you make Notre Dame come out of the zone and that kind of thing? Yeah. What do the fouls look like? But then the other thing is if Notre Dame defends and gets that transition game going, that's when they get a little bit scary, you know, and that's how they were able to have some success at the ACC tournament. So I'll give them 50-50 chance, puncher's chance.
I like it, man.
Against
South
Carolina if they get to the Elite Eight.
Hey, I'll be rooting hard. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I would love to see Notre Dame return to the Final Four. And I know our buddy Jesse would love for them to return to the Final Four because it's in Cleveland,
in his backyard, baby.
I mean, he can dust off that press pass and go check out the Final Four.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yes.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, so back over in the men's tournament, fill in the blank. After UConn, San Diego State, and Florida Atlantic all made the men's Final Four last year, it's blank. They are all in the same region this year.
I mean, it is, a luck of the draw, I guess is the best way to put it, or unluck of the draw, depending on how you want to look at it. It's just kind of the way it works out. I wouldn't say that they did that on purpose. I think, you know, each year is unique to itself. But still very interesting that they're all in the same, you know, region.
And you might have UConn and Florida Atlantic playing in the second round, you know.
Good point.
You know, so it's crazy the way it worked out. You know, it stinks for Florida Atlantic. But I agree. I don't think they did this necessarily intentionally. I know a lot of people are crying about it. A lot of people crying about, UConn's got the toughest draw and all that stuff. Look. UConn's the defending national champion. And if they are that good, if they're as good as everybody says, then it shouldn't matter. You know, just because San Diego State and Florida Atlantic made it to the Final Four last year doesn't like make them any better this year than they were last year. They wouldn't be 8 and 5 seeds, you know, if they were, you know, and then if they weren't 8 and 5 seeds, they might be
right
in different regions.
Exactly.
You know? So, you don't necessarily see all three teams in the same region right off the bat the next year, but it's not like you haven't seen this kind of thing happen before, where you've at least got a couple of teams that were in the Final Four 1 year and end up, you know, playing relatively early the next year. It happens sometimes.
Yeah, and we're not talking about blue bloods here either. You know what I mean?
Like exactly.
The couple of these teams were, you know, upstarts and Cinderellas or whatever term you want to use, right? And so it's not like Kansas and UConn, for example, you know what I mean? Right. And they were in the Final Four. Now they're in the same region or whatever. You know, I think it's because you had the upsets and the craziness of the tournament, the way it went down last year. I mean, you could have just shaken up a lot of those teams and then just Yahtzee'd them into a region. You know what I mean? So it's like, I just think it's a very large coincidence.
Yeah. I agree. I completely agree with that last part. So Caleb Williams finished his 2 years at USC with 210 carries for 518 rushing yards. Vince's favorite guy. If you take away the 63 times he was sacked in the 2 years at USC, he would have 147 carries for 997 yards and a 6.8 yards per carry average. Now, I'll see if I can find who tweeted like this stuff out. But do you buy or sell, when you look at that, do you buy or sell doing away with sacks counting against a quarterback's rushing totals in college?
It's a huge buy. This is long, long overdue. You know, it to me, honestly, it's like akin to the NCAA finally counting sack numbers. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
What are we waiting for? Okay. This is stupid. Your rushing total should have nothing to do with sacks. Nothing to do with sacks.
I agree.
That should be a team stat. And it really kind of hinders you know, when you're looking at a mobile quarterback and what he's able to do with his legs. I mean, the case in point right here, right? And I wonder, you know, for example, let's crank it back to like a Notre Dame thing. I wonder what it would look like if you did this for Riley Leonard. You know, what would his rushing stats look like if you took away sacks? Any mobile quarterback, Ian Book, for example, or DeShone Kizer when he would run the ball all over the place, right? What would that look like? This is long overdue. This is ridiculous. I can't believe that they're still doing it this way. This is a huge buy for me.
It's a buy for me as well. And I am not shocked that John wants to sell this. TD4ND wants to sell it as well.
Wow.
Take Caleb Williams out of this.
Right,
you know, like, he was just the one used as an example. Well, you know, we're not changing the rule because of Caleb Williams. But, you know, look at the fact that basically you add – like what, 480, almost 500 more yards to his rushing total if you take out sacks. It's not done in the NFL. These are not rushing attempts. You know, they are
exactly
sacked. If they are actual rushing attempts, you know, then that's different. And, you know, like, maybe it's because it's easier for, you know, statisticians in college where it's like, oh, the guy's dropped behind the line. It's an automatic rush attempt. You don't have to separate. I don't know, but it has never made sense to me because it was not the intent of the quarterback for that to be a rushing attempt. He was dropping back to pass and the defense sacked him. It should not count against his rushing totals. And I think it would give everyone a much more clear picture. And not only that, like it's going to boost the team's rushing totals at the end of the season as well. It's going to look a lot different.
That's true.
If you take the adjustment for sacks out of there. So I buy it as well. I think it's ridiculous that they've continued to keep this. I have no idea why they've actually kept this. You know, like, I guess the other side of that is, to go back on what I just said, you could easily make it like a team rush, but not count against the quarterback, you know, if you wanted to do that. If you still wanted to, you know, to count those yards against the team's total, but not the quarterback's total. Because again, if you're crediting a sack, then you shouldn't also be, you know, counting against the rushing totals in the end.
Agreed. I mean, I absolutely agree. Father David, you know, he's got to throw in his two cents here. And I love it. I think this is a great clarifier. He says, what would you do if the quarterback is scrambling around and gets sacked? Well, I think that's a sack. So that would not count against his rushing totals because it's meant to be, if it's meant to be a pass,
right,
and you get sacked, then it doesn't count against you. Now, if it's meant to be a pass and you scramble and you gain yards, then obviously you can gain those yards.
And like in the NFL, once the quarterback commits toward running forward, as soon as he takes a step, like his intent is running forward. Again, you're putting some sort of onus, you know, and responsibility on the statisticians or whatever but look, coaches go back and change stats after the games all the time. But I agree. Basically, it's as simple as if a sack is credited, then it doesn't count. But if it's not credited as a sack, then it's different. And then it counts as a rut, you know, as an official rushing attempt.
And again, the NFL does this, guys. Like, this is not some foreign concept.
Right.
It's how the NFL operates. And so if the NFL can do it, then the NCAA should be able to figure it out too.
Michael says, if sacks are counting as a rush, then pass interference yards should count against passing yards.
I'm double whammy.
Yeah.
That's fine. I get it.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, okay. That's all we got.
That's all we've got for tonight.
That's right. Hey, that's okay. Got a little corned beef and cabbage going on upstairs.
Oh, nice. Today. Little late St. Patrick's Day meal.
I'm just not sure how I feel. I've always avoided it, but now it's been made by my wife, so I will be eating it. We're going to see. We're going to see. The verdict is out. We're going to have to see.
Okay, so this bracket challenge, remember,
we've got
men's and women's bracket challenges going at ESPN.com. So like, you go to the men's bracket or the women's bracket if you want to get in the group. What is it? Is it IB Nation Sports Talk? Is that the group
name? That's the name of the group. IB Nation Sports Talk, just how it's listed right down there, right? IB Nation Sports Talk, you just search for the group. You can join it. It's a public group, but there is a passcode. and the passcode is Irish Breakdown. It's all one word, and I and B are capitalized. Easy. Right. And so there's been plenty of people that have figured it out. Obviously, we've got 11 in the women's side of things, it looks like. And on the men's side, we are sitting at 58. So obviously more interest in the men's. Not surprising, but just more of a chance for me to win the women's one. So that's where we're at. So join both. It'll be fun.
Yep. TD4ND wants to know what the prize is. You get to be the holder on a field goal attempts for Dylan D'Addario when Vince D'Addario snaps to you. That's first prize.
That's awesome. That would be fun. If you're a local, we can make that one happen for sure.
That's right.
We can definitely make that happen.
There is no official prize as of right now. I don't know if we're going to get one. We're just, you know, we're kind of doing it for the fun, bragging rights, that kind of thing. But I don't know. Maybe we can coax a prize out of somebody when it's all said and done. We'll see.
We'll see. We're not making any promises.
Vince and I were talking yesterday. We were in text chain and we were just like, yeah, let's just do it. You know, we'll have fun with it. What the heck?
Hey, 60 of our friends are doing it with us. So I love it. It'll be fun.
There you go. As I predicted, though, there's always more interest in the men's bracket than there is the women. You know, like I said, like the women's game is gaining more, you know, like star players. I think that there is a lot of actual TV interest in certain players in certain games.
Sure.
Men, like the bracket is always the thing. Everyone wants to fill out the men's bracket. That's the biggest draw, I think, for the interest in the men's tournament.
Yep. No, it totally is. And that's cool. Hey, I get it, man. I've been filling out men's brackets since I was old enough to watch, you know, with any kind of interest. You know, I remember doing it in high school. So here we go. It'd be fun.
Yep. We've got a couple different things going on over the next couple of days. We've got a Notre Dame practice to go to tomorrow. We'll get to talk to the two line coaches and a handful of players afterwards. So we'll kind of have some thoughts from practice.
Practice
and a mailbag tomorrow night as well. So
practice resumes tomorrow.
That's right.
Here
spring practice is back. And then we got pro day Thursday. See how the 40 times look.
You're going to be Mr. Busy.
What else is new?
You're not wrong.
And then we got basketball this weekend.
Yes.
Looking forward to it. It's March, baby. It's already March 19th. That's the thing. March is almost over.
I know. Isn't that nuts?
A week from now, March is practically over.
It's going to be great because that means spring break for Vince. Fired up, baby.
Good luck. All right. That's going to do it for tonight. Thanks to Ryan earlier tonight. Thanks to Vince as well. I'm Sean. Hit the like button before you leave, please. And of course, subscribe, rate, and review. And we'll talk to you tomorrow on IB Nation Sports. We'll